I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
Wisconsin's fishing season opens this weekend, and Governor Walker is still hoping to host the governor's fishing opener on Lake Namekagon near Cable on Saturday. That's despite a couple of feet of ice on some parts of that lake still. Ice fishing, anyone? A stubborn spring or not, we will talk about fishing in Wisconsin this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, April 30th. Do you fish? For what? Are you going to get out on the water or the ice this weekend? We will welcome your questions about making the most of your fishing trips this year and your fishing stories and the reasons you love to fish at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Dan Small, host producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. He's also a contributing editor to Wisconsin Outdoor News. He joins us this morning from Western New York State, where he plans on doing some turkey hunting tomorrow morning. Thanks for joining us again, Dan.
Morning, Joy.
So are you going to be back in time for the fishing season opener in Wisconsin?
I will not. No, I'm going to be turkey hunting here in New York and doing some trout fishing and maybe some steelhead fishing as well. I come to New York every May to visit family and to open the turkey season here, and I've been doing that for about the last 12 years or so. So it's become my tradition for Wisconsin's opening weekend. I miss the rush and the crowds at the landings and everything, and but I'll do my fishing in Wisconsin in a couple of weeks when the ice has gone up north.
Yeah, sounds good. It sounds like you've got the timing about right this year for that.
I got lucky this time. Yeah.
So Governor Walker is going to be opening this season on Saturday, or at least he hopes he will near Cable in northern Wisconsin. Have you ever been fishing on Lake Namekagon?
I have, and in fact, I used to attend the governor's fishing opener, which is an annual, it's really a kind of a tourism event promoting northwestern Wisconsin, and I think this is the 48th, it's the 48th annual. I've got their invitation here right in front of me. And back in 96, it was on Lake Namekagon, and Tommy Thompson was governor, and Lake Namekagon was frozen at that time. There was just enough open water to get a boat and the governor into the water so they could do some photo ops. But then they moved the whole event over to Bayfield, or well, it's in Bayfield County anyway, but over to the town of Barnes, to the middle and upper Eau Claire lakes, and all of us fished over there, as I recall. I don't know what their plans are. I talked with Deb Sturchy of Indian Head Country before I left last weekend, and she had her fingers crossed that there'd be open water. But as you mentioned, there's still ice on parts of Namekagon, and I think many lakes up there.
Yeah, there are. So it's not unprecedented that there has been ice on the lakes for the fishing opener. But this has got to be a real bummer for the businesses up there. This is pretty important, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I actually wrote an article for the current issue of Wisconsin Outdoor News, which should be out this week. I haven't seen it yet, but editor Dean Boritz asked me to call a bunch of bait shops up in northern Wisconsin and find out what the options were. And this was 10 days ago when the lakes were locked in ice. What are the options for opening weekend if there's still ice? And they all were quite, they were optimistic, cautiously optimistic, but they were, they said, you know, in fact, Kurt Justice of Island Bait Shop in Minocqua said, well, I've put our tip-ups back out, and we're renting ice augers if people want them. So they were trying to make lemonade out of whatever lemons Mother Nature handed them. I don't know that the ice fishing will be safe, because the edges of the lakes, even where there's still ice out in the middle of the lake, the edges are where the ice melts first, and it's really unsafe trying to get on and off. But the good news is that there will be good fishing in the rivers. Chippewa, Flambeau, Namekagon, Red Cedar, those rivers that have walleyes and bass in them should Unless they get real high with runoff, they should offer good walleye fishing this time of year.
Well, that's good news anyway. The story that I have here from our reporter based in Superior, Mike Simonson, does say that they will, the governor's people will be meeting on Wednesday to make a final call about this weekend. They are, though, still saying that it's on, and they're planning on doing it. But we'll see if that changes. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there is a chance of some more snow coming up for far northwestern Wisconsin even before the weekend.
It just won't quit this year. Yeah. Well, the governor's opener folks have some other events planned. They've got some trap shooting. They've got a best ball golf scramble. Lakewood's has a great golf course. I've played it myself. And a fly fishing workshop. And, of course, they have a lot of fun. There are hospitality hours and all the meals are catered, and it's really a great event for those who are going. It's an invitational thing, and it's primarily tourist folks and tourism writers from, you know, around the Midwest. So I'm sure there'll be people there, and they'll have a good time. Whether they'll fish much and what they'll catch, that's another question.
Yeah. Do we know how this long winter and long ice cover might affect fish behavior in any way this year?
Well, and I'm not a biologist, but the folks I've talked to have said it will simply push back the starting of spawning and spring migrations. It shouldn't impact the fish it shouldn't kill fish unless there's very thick ice cover on shallow lakes that don't have much oxygen. Then there will be some fish kill. And I think, in fact, in the Wausau area, a couple months ago now, there was a report of a fish kill on Big O' Plain Reservoir, which, interestingly enough, was where the World Ice Fishing Championship was held in February. But that's a body of water that had low oxygen levels and thick ice, and I think they lost some fish, and they did a year or two ago also there. But that's part of the Wisconsin River system, and replenishing the fish is pretty easy when they can get into the reservoir from upstream or downstream.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that there'll be that much of an impact. I think walleyes will just be spawning. So actually, if there is open water, people should have good fishing. They won't be in that post-spawn funk that that some anglers complain about. They should be in shallow water and biting aggressively again if you can get at them.
You know, speaking of migration, for the first time since I've lived in Madison, this weekend I watched the muskies migrating from, I think it's from Wingra Creek to Lake Wingra, and they have to jump a small dam to get back to the spawning grounds. And what a spectacle that is to see these huge muskies jumping a dam. But so in southern Wisconsin anyway, conditions are sort of normal, huh?
That's what I've heard, and again, I haven't been there now for several days, so one of the issues is spring runoff when all the snow melts. Now in the southern two-thirds of the state, we lost all our snow a couple weeks ago, and the Milwaukee River for one and the Sheboygan River were very high and muddy a few days before I left, and as they drop, they should get into good spring flow conditions, and there should be good steelhead fishing, which has been open already on the Lake Michigan tributaries. And the other rivers should offer good walleye and crappie and bass fishing, but they were still high last I heard.
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to ask you, while watching this spectacle of the muskellunge trying to jump the dam and its migration, I noticed people along the shoreline fishing, and in fact, one guy caught one of these muskies, and he let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But is that legal to do that?
Boy,
I guess you're not a DNR warden, but
well, I've got the regulations booklet here in front of me, but I'd have to dig. I'd have to go to Dane County and look.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this: that at certain areas like that area where the fish congregate because of a dam, there's often a what's the word I'm looking for? A
an exception of some sort?
Well, yeah, there's a, I just can't come up with a word right now, but there's a preserve area where you can't fish for a certain period of time. That may be the case there. I've heard of that, you know, the muskies coming up to the dam on Wingra. I've never gone to observe it myself because it typically lasts just a day. Refuge is the word I was looking for there, fish refuge. It only lasts a few days as they're, as the water temperatures are right and they're coming up. There's another one, I believe, on Pewaukee Lake where the Bark River, or maybe it's the Pewaukee. Maybe somebody will call and correct us on that. But that's fairly common, that there are refuges at areas that block the passage of fish because otherwise they might be too easy to catch. So, you know, regarding that spot, I'm not really sure.
Yeah. We are talking with Dan Small about fishing in Wisconsin. The fishing season kicks off this weekend on Saturday, and we're previewing it, and we're welcoming your questions, your fish stories, your favorite fishing holes, reasons you love to fish. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be partly to mostly cloudy. There is a chance of rain. In fact, there have been some thunderstorms and rain showers through parts of Wisconsin this morning. We can expect high temperatures, very mild today, with highs in the upper 60s in northern Wisconsin and getting into the lower 80s. That's right, 80s in the southern part of the state. It's going to be cloudy tonight, a chance of rain with lows in the 40s and 50s, and tomorrow, rainy statewide, mixed with snow in far northern Wisconsin. Highs in the low 40s to, again, near 80 degrees tomorrow. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is now 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 30th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with John Munson. Some say we now live in a golden age of television. With hundreds of channels and a program for every interest, there is always something to watch or talk about regarding television. But is all of this a good thing? John's guest says we're spending way too much time discussing television and we should switch the subject. So talking about TV coming up after 3 o'clock. We're talking about fishing during this hour, and Dan Small, the host, producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin, is giving us a preview of the upcoming season, which opens on Saturday. In fact, we're wondering if Governor Walker will be able to host his governor opening day for the fishing season this Saturday on Lake Namakagan near Cable, with all the ice up there still. But we're welcoming your questions and your fish stories at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dennis in Appleton is with us. Hello, Dennis.
Good morning. I guess I have a comment about trout fishing. Years ago, the regulations changed and they were a little more restrictive. And there were a lot of people who commented that they were too complicated. But in my experience, since the regulations have changed, trout fishing has really improved. And I just wonder if, with the ice on the lakes up north, if the streams will be, the trout streams will be a little more crowded this weekend.
What do you think, Dan?
Well, that is a very strong possibility. I think all rivers that are open, and they all are, to my understanding, all rivers that are open and are anywhere near normal flow will probably see more anglers than normal because of the fact that it's difficult to get on the lakes.
Yeah, and what exactly changed in terms of regulation of the trout season?
Oh, it's rather complicated. There's a trout fishing regulations booklet that is available at any license outlet, and you can walk into any DNR office and get one. And it spells out the regulations for trout streams throughout the state. There are several categories of streams. Some streams have more restrictive limits. There are sections of streams that are catch and release only, and you really need to read the booklet or actually have it with you for each section of stream. And this was a complaint of a number of anglers, I can't remember how many years ago, but it was sometime in the last 10 or 15 years when these changes were made. But if you fish several streams and get to know them, you get to learn the regulations. And if you go to the new stream, regulations are posted at most public access spots, and they're pretty clearly spelled out in the booklet. It's it's the same kind of complaint that people had about deer season a few years ago with the changes in regulations with CWD. Where can I do this and where can I do that? And there's some legitimacy to the complaint, I think, but if you read the regulations and pay attention to where you are, you shouldn't have any trouble. I did look up refuges during the break, Joy,
okay.
And on page 19 of the regulations booklet, it says that occasionally fish need additional protection during critical times of their lives, and there are refuges that are designated, and signs are posted, and usually it's no fishing within 300 feet of a dam or something like that. And so it doesn't name any refuges, so it doesn't address that Wingra question, but it says that they are posted, and then it says to call a local DNR office or fisheries biologist if you have questions about a given refuge. So that should answer anyone's questions about that.
Sounds good. Thank you, Dennis, for the call. Nick in New Richmond is with us now. Hello, Nick.
Good morning.
Morning.
I don't fish anymore. I just catch.
What does that mean, Nick? What does that mean?
That means when I go out, I catch fish. I don't fish for them. They just get on my hook. So
no, good for you. Show me how do that.
my question is I noticed that the regulations for Cedar Lake, which I fish in St. Croix County, says three walleyes, but I checked the landing yesterday and it says one walleye, and I'm just wondering what happened between the regulations put out and the walleye regulations put out that most of the ceded territory is one walleye.
Okay, well, you mentioned ceded territory, and there's the issue right there. The northern two-thirds or so, no, I'm sorry, northern third or so of Wisconsin is called the ceded territory, and that is territory that was ceded by the Lake Superior Chippewa tribes to the federal government and eventually to the state in treaties back in the 19th century. And this area, the counties that are in that area and the lakes, they're all spelled out on the DNR website. And I don't have internet access right in front of me here, but these are lakes where the tribes declare how many walleyes they intend to spear, and when they make those declarations, then the state biologists reduce the walleye limit accordingly from 5 or 3 to 2 or 1 per day for sport angling. And you're right, I just looked at St. Croix County. Cedar Lake says bag limit is 3. But if a lower limit is posted because of the spearing declarations, that's the limit that you must obey. And sometimes those limits are then raised back to the official regular limit after the spearing season in cases when the tribes have not speared as many walleyes as they've declared. That's complicated. It may sound, confusing, but again, at the landings, it should be posted, and those limits will all be on the DNR website.
Nick, thanks for the call. Besides walleye limits in ceded territories, are you aware of any other significant changes to fishing rules or policies that await us this year?
No.
Okay.
I say that with a little hesitation because I haven't read the entire booklet. There is a good change in that first-time anglers or anglers who have not fished for 10 or more years can buy a license for $5 if they're a resident instead of $20, or $25.75 for non-residents instead of $50. So that's an incentive if you've never fished or if you gave it up some years ago and want to try it again to get out there.
Well, maybe this is my year since it's been a while. Yeah, and in fact, I also see that on Free Fishing Weekend is June 1st and 2nd, where you can go out and fish without a license if you want to try it then, apparently.
Right. The first weekend in June for the last, gosh, I don't know how many years again, but it's free fishing weekend, and it's also State Park Open House weekend. They coincide so that you can visit state parks without a park vehicle sticker, without paying admission, and you can fish any water in the state without a license. You must obey any size and bag limits, of course, but the reason for that is, it's again the same reason as the $5 license, to encourage people who aren't regular anglers to get out there and give it a try. And also, you know, for parents who want to take kids fishing, you know, if you take your youngster who's under 16 fishing and you help them with the tackle and landing the fish, you've got to have a license. So that's an incentive to people to do that on that weekend.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about getting more people involved in fishing. Talk more about the opening of fishing season, which is this Saturday in Wisconsin, and we'll welcome your questions for our guest and your fish stories. And I'd love to know, if you do fish, why do you fish? Why do you love to fish? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dan Small, host producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. He's also contributing editor to Wisconsin Outdoor News. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
On my door I'd hang a sign, gone fishing.
I won't go fishing, that's what I do. Think about nothing, not even you.
Lingering ice will prevent some anglers from fishing on some of their favorite northern Wisconsin lakes when the season starts this weekend. Despite a recent warming in the weather, many lakes north of State Highway 64 remain covered in ice. Still, Governor Walker is still planning on kicking off the fishing season this Saturday at Lake Namekagon near Cable. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up now on 6:37 on this Tuesday, April 30th. We are previewing the upcoming fishing season, and we're welcoming your fish stories and the reasons you love to fish at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Dan Small, who is host producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. And let's take another call, this one from Danny in Peshtigo. Hi, Danny.
Hello. I got a question. If the season starts this weekend, how can people legally fish right now? Because I know if you go past the Peshtigo Dam now, they're staying within that 300-foot limit, but they're also out there fishing off the walleye. There's like 20 or 30 people out there right now.
So they're near, or are they within that refuge area of a dam, Danny, or are they beyond it?
They're within that limit. They stay within that limit, but they're fishing now. And I just had a question. If the season don't officially start to this weekend, how can they legally fish to fish now?
Yeah, I don't know, Dan, if you know. I mean, people are still out there fishing now. Are they supposed to be?
I'm looking at the Marinette County regs. Let me just say this about certain rivers, the Wisconsin River, the Mississippi River, the Fox River in the De Pere area, and I'm missing some of them, Lake Winnebago, the whole Winnebago system. There are a number and quite a few large bodies of water that are open to fishing year-round, and I'm not sure what the Peshtigo rules are. I'm looking at
Yeah, presumably it's okay. I mean,
it doesn't say right here. It must say somewhere in there. But you know, the general answer is there are some areas of the state that are open year round, And, in fact, it's what's opening on Saturday is, first of all, the general trout fishing season, that is the catch-and-keep trout fishing season, and then walleye, bass, and northern pike and muskie, the so-called game fish species. With some exceptions, there's a northern zone and a southern zone for muskies and bass. But for panfish, crappies, bluegills, perch, that season's open inland lakes and waters year-round. So those people, I don't know what they're catching, but you can fish certain waters year-round for panfish and then some waters year-round for virtually all species except typically except muskies.
Speaking of panfish, the DNR held several public meetings earlier this year on how to make panfishing a better experience for Wisconsin anglers. Has panfishing fallen below satisfactory levels in the state?
Well, you know, I'm aware of those meetings. I have not looked into the reports yet. I think what they're after is they're trying to get a read on anglers' expectations because typically anglers like to catch, excuse me, a lot of fish, a lot of panfish, and they want big ones. And if the limit is 25 on many lakes, and a lot of people keep 25 panfish, it doesn't take long for most of those big ones to be cropped off. So there is a report on panfish and that that series of meetings in the Wisconsin Fishing Report, which is a tabloid insert to the Natural Resources Magazine April issue, and also available as a freestanding publication at DNR offices. So I haven't read it yet. There's a whole page on panfish.
Oh, good. In fact, yeah, I did. I do have a copy of it, and I scanned through it, and there is an article on panfish. In fact, there's a little a paragraph here that says 2013, a year for panfish. So apparently they're expecting it to be good, I guess.
Well, that's the year of study, I guess, is what they're, because they talk about the meetings in that section of the article.
Yeah. And maybe we can, since I have this online copy, maybe it's possible for us to put it on our Facebook page. We'll see if we can put it there. Another article in that Wisconsin Fishing Report had to do with the Angler Education Program celebrating 25 years.
Yep.
And apparently this is a program which works to get people of all ages hooked on fishing. How important do you think programs like this are to the state's long-standing fishing tradition?
Well, I think like the Hunter Education Program and the Mentored Hunting and Youth Hunting, a program like this is important. And I say, unfortunately, because there aren't as many families that fish and hunt, again, as there used to be. You know, when I was a kid, we just went fishing. And, you know, more people lived in rural parts of all states, and it was very common for young boys and a lot of girls to just get a fishing rod, ride their bike with the rod hooked with two fingers on their handlebars and go to the nearest creek or little pond or lake and go fishing. And people don't do that the way they used to. And so if kids want to get into fishing, these programs can help them do that. And for families that don't fish and they have kids who want to fish, the tradition of passing it on from father to son or uncle to nephew or niece is broken, and so these programs kind of fill that void. I think they're good. They're also rod and reel tackle loaner programs as part of this. I don't believe they substitute for a family taking kids fishing. I don't think you can get as many kids into fishing with a formal program like this that, you know, teaches maybe 25 kids at a time, as many kids as you would if, say, a whole village of families took their kids fishing. But it may be the best thing we've got now for that.
Yeah, last time we talked, we did talk about going fishing with our dads, and mm-hmm. My dad did teach me how to fish, but it's been a very long time. I haven't gone fishing since he passed away. I might have to try it sometime.
Well, it's a little like riding a bike, you know. But if you get out there, you'll still know how to do it.
Yeah. So what about you, listeners? Are you excited about the fishing season? Where do you like to fish in Wisconsin? Who taught you how to fish? Do you have a fishing story or a memory that you'd like to share? Or do you have a question for our guest, Dan Small? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Jared in Chippewa Falls. Jared, I understand you have a story about the one that got away.
Well, I have multiple stories about the ones that got away, Joy.
So,
I agree with your guest, Dan, though. There's no replacement for the memories that you gain from your family. That's the one thing that's irreplaceable, you know.
Yeah.
But when a guy goes fishing, you know, there's a certain amount of, there's mystery there. You know, you're not sure what's gonna happen when you put that line in the water, you know. And I've got multiple stories. I'm a muskie fisherman, and I've had multiple muskies who've broken my line over the years, you know. And that's what kept me coming back, you know.
Yeah, what about that, Dan? The mystery, and that's what keeps some coming back is that one that got away.
Oh, I think Jared's absolutely right. And, you know, when I was younger, I did a lot of trout fishing. And, you know, there's always something around that next bend if you're walking upstream or downstream and you don't know what it is. And you do not know. As well as you may know a lake or a river, you do not know what might grab that bait or that lure when you cast into a pool or by some lily pads or next to a log. And it's... that's a good part of the appeal to fishing is the uncertainty and the hope that comes with each cast.
Yeah, and there's something I think with muskie fishermen or anglers specifically. I mean, that's not that common to catch a muskie, even though it is the state fish. There's a great attraction there, isn't there?
Well, there is, and it's partly because there are fewer muskies than other fish, and they're at the top of the food chain, and so you know, they eat probably a couple of panfish or small walleyes or bass a day. So to keep a balanced fishery, you would only have a couple of walleyes per acre on a typical lake, whereas you might have hundreds of panfish and maybe a half a dozen walleyes. So they're fewer and farther between, and therefore, just, you know, there aren't as many of them, and they're harder to catch.
Yeah, and they break your line if there's some huge lunkers out there. People were telling stories around the Swingra Dam in Madison, where we watched the muskies trying to migrate over that dam. And they were saying, you know, I don't know, that there is, you know, the legends of the, you know, 100-pound muskies or whatever that, you know, that you can't bring in because the line will break.
Well, there are stories like that on a lot of lakes. A number of years ago, there was a story of a fish that DNR biologists had netted during the survey season early in the spring, and they didn't weigh it, but they estimated that it might be 80 pounds, and that would have been a state record. But, you know, if you have the right tackle and you play a fish carefully, I'm not saying you should land every fish, but... when the line breaks, there's usually, quite often, there's angler error. Let me put it that way. You know, your drag was set too tight. You didn't check your knots. There was a frayed spot in the line from the last fish that maybe bit the line with his teeth. If you're a careful fisherman, you'll check those things. Doesn't mean that every fish, that you'll catch every one. You'll still have some get away. But when I lose a fish like that, I can usually find a mistake that I made.
So that guy was... just a big talker. All right.
Oh, no, I believe him. I believe every fish story I've ever heard, as long as you believe mine.
All right. Dan Small is our guest, host, producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin, and we're talking about Wisconsin's fishing season opening this weekend and welcoming your fish stories or memories or favorite fishing holes. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up in our weather for today, it's going to be partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, especially this morning. Highs will be in the upper 60s to the low 80s today. And coming up in our next hour, we'll have discussion on a couple of different transportation-related issues. Our first guest has an alternative transportation budget plan that he says would help fix local roads. And after 7:30, we'll talk with a guest about preventing bicycle motorist crashes. That's coming up in our next hour. And by the way, tomorrow during this first hour, it's our one-day Wednesday pledge drive tomorrow, and we will be talking about birding. Spring migration is underway, and birders are finding all sorts of visitors in Wisconsin, and we will talk about some of the rare finds and some of the beautiful songbirds that are coming back to the state tomorrow between 6 and 7. Right now, we're talking about fishing and wondering if you fish or if you're excited about getting out on the water or ice this weekend. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Diane in Madison is with us. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I have a lot of really happy memories of fishing with my grandparents, and I was wondering, if I take my grandson out fishing, do I need a fishing license?
Yes, you do. As I understand it, if you handle the tackle or help him catch the fish, help him land the fish, it's just the safest thing to do because they're, you know, a warden might be watching you, and it's, I guess it's up to the warden's discretion where that if you cross that fine line between just, let's say, rowing the boat or taking a youngster to a lake and sitting there reading a book while he's fishing. You know, as soon as you start handling the tackle or handling the fish, I'd want a license myself.
All right, Diane, thanks, and good for you for wanting to teach
Absolutely.
Your grandchildren how to fish.
Absolutely. And the license is only $20, or if you haven't fished in the last 10 years or ever, it's only $5, and that's a good investment, and then you're safe.
Yeah, $5. What's that? Thanks very much, Diane. Chris in Menominee. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Joy. Speaking of strong tackle, when I was a kid growing up in Cudahy, I used to ride my bike down to a stream in South Milwaukee along Oak Creek Parkway, because we had salmon and trout running up that stream from the lakes, and you needed strong tackle if you wanted to fish in this little hole, which was really rocky, and, you know, if a jig got snagged on a rock, you want to get it back. And the fish themselves were pretty big, especially some of the salmon. The biggest one I ever took out of there was like a 30-inch salmon, and riding that thing home on my bike was rather difficult.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine catching a big salmon unless you're out on a charter boat on Lake Michigan or something. Wow.
Oh, yeah. They run up the rivers for certain streams, and you'll find them.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you very much, Chris. Let's see. Who's next? Teresa in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I have a very short story. My father was an avid fisherman, and he used to do all kinds of stuff with the Sentinel Sports Show and all of that in Milwaukee. But we would go all the way up to Canada, and so one time we were up there, and we had this little pop-up trailer in the back that we'd carry, you know, in the back of our station wagon, total, like, 1960s. And so one time I caught a northern, and my dad always made us fillet the fish, and we were pretty young, but he taught us, and we knew how to fillet them. And I knew a northern was really hard to fillet, and I was kind of being a bad girl, and I stuck the northern I hid it in the pop-up trailer. And then the next morning we took off, we drove all day long, and that fish stuck up the whole trailer, and my dad was so mad at me. But he made me fillet that fish right there on the spot, and he said, never, ever do you just take a fish and do this to its life. You eat it,
that's it, or you put it back.
Yeah, you
and just, I learned a valuable lesson.
And that's not Teresa. Thank you for sharing that. That's I still don't know how to fillet a fish. Dan Small, you do though, I bet.
It's not that difficult if you practice it. You need a very sharp, flexible knife and a good surface to hold the fish. There's a fillet board called the Fillet King, which is it's really great. It actually has a grate that holds the fish so it doesn't slide around. That's one of the problems with filleting fish. And there are instructional booklets and videos and just go on YouTube and Google fillet northern pike, and I'll bet you'll find a half a dozen ways to do it. I think the DNR even has a one-page handout on doing northerns. They are tricky because of a series of Y bones that they have down the side of the fish.
But Dad taught her a valuable lesson. Don't waste the fish.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tim in Evansville is with us. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, good morning. Great program. Love it. Hey, a couple of quick comments and then a question. But I think my son, he's 10. He's already itching to go this year. And one thing I did, I took him to an area where we get lots of panfish down here in Evansville, Wisconsin. One day he caught like 50 in an hour, and I was actually tired of fishing, which is pretty hard for me to do. But the same token, there's a trout farm near us, and you got to be careful with your kids because he went there in an hour, and within an hour he had about $60 worth of trout. So the question I have for you, we seem to fish with these little red, real small little red worms down here, and we get a lot of hits off them versus the bigger, fatter night crawlers. And I'm wondering what you think about that. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Red worms or small garden worms are effective bait. When I did a lot of trout fishing as a youngster, that was our go-to bait. We would flip over rocks or dried cow pies or just dig in a garden or a leaf pile and get a bunch of small worms and go fishing for them. And I think the advantage of smaller worms for trout and for panfish is that it's easier for them to get it in their mouth. If you fish with a whole night crawler or even half a night crawler, you know, that's like you or I trying to swallow a submarine sandwich. He might not get it in, you know, and then you don't hook him. But, you know, he made a good point about taking a kid where he or she would catch a lot of fish. Kids want to have fun. They want to catch a lot of fish. They don't really care about size so much. So it's a good idea to take a youngster or any starter fisherman to a place where he or she can catch a lot of fish, have a lot of action, and not have a lot of brush to tangle their lines. And there are shore fishing places. In fact, if you go on the DNR website and you type in shore fishing, you'll see a list of places that have public access where there are piers that go out into the water and very easy to fish from shore. So some more good thoughts there.
This is not a fish that you're going to catch with a hook and line, but not only is opening day coming up, but spawning is getting started on the Wolf River near New London for the sturgeon. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are excited by that spectacle, too. Have you ever, we only have a minute, have you ever checked that out?
I have, and boy, it is late this year because it's usually April 12th or 15th, somewhere around there, right around tax weekend or tax day. And it's a great thing to check out. You can actually walk along the shore and get so close you can almost, they won't let you touch them, but you get so close you can almost touch them as they're spawning. It's a great thing to observe.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out, too. I hope to see that.
Do
and
it.
Good luck to you, Dan Small, with your turkey hunting. And
thank you,
good luck fishing when you get back to Wisconsin.
All right. Thanks, Joy.
Dan Small, host producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Amanda Magnus and Jane Rotunda for on-air production and direction. If you want more information on fishing, we have posted a number of articles and resources on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Welcome to the club.
On my door I'd hang a sign, God.